Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sounds like chase music. It's like, V, go to the alley. What is up? It is me, Ewan, from What Culture Gaming today, joined by Scott Telford.
Hello!
To talk about some news. We've got a few stories that have broken over the weekend, and a talking point that has kind of been slowly bubbling beneath the surface for quite a few good months now, actually maybe even a year, depending. Because I actually want to talk about Battlefield 5 and how, you know, last week or on the podcast last week, we mentioned how Battlefront 2 has kind of had a little renaissance in the past few months. You know, DICE have gone out of their way to resurrect that title and basically make it, you know, almost like a completely different game. They've gone so far to, like, basically get past the controversy that happened at launch, which was 2 years ago now, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It's come a long way, though.
Yeah. And obviously, DICE also released Battlefield 5 last year, and you know, there was some controversy at launch, you know, fake controversy, I think, to be fair. And then we had the actual game come out, and it actually played very well. I've actually held off from getting it for a while now, even though I love Battlefield. I really liked Bad Company games, like one of my favorite shooters ever. Yeah. And then I really enjoyed Battlefield 1 as well. And it felt as though Battlefield 5 was just be Battlefield 1, which is great, in World War 2. And I picked it up over the weekend because I was in the mood to shoot some Nazis. And It's a very weird thing, because I think the gameplay is, and I think this might be a little bit controversial to say, I actually think the gameplay is at its tightest it's been for a while.
Yeah.
Everything feels really good to play. I'm really enjoying the squad-based gameplay. Still fantastic. It's all really, really fun. But as I've been kind of going through it all, I've been noticing little bits and pieces here and there, which they don't make too much sense. So basically, we've got stuff locked behind paywalls, a lot of cosmetics that, you know, you have to buy credits to then use. And you also have the currency that you accumulate in-game called company credits, which you can use to get stuff. But the vast majority of cosmetic items, which obviously is what they kind of really sold the multiplayer around before it released, was being like, oh, you can make your own soldier. This is your company. You can make them however you want. They have timed event stuff where you can pick stuff up as well, but for the most part, it's literally just like, here is an elite set that you can buy for X amount of money. And, you know, they do have to support their game somehow. You know, you can't just have content release post-launch without having any way to monetize that whatsoever. But it's still a little bit dodgy. And actually, as I've been doing some digging over the weekend, it seems as though there is a little controversy kind of beneath the surface of Battlefield 5.
Yeah, the fan base aren't especially happy. We saw the whole thing with the PvP mode being cancelled. I know Fireteam eventually made it out, but it was months later, even though it was kind of part of their initial announcement stuff. But yeah, it seems like a whole bunch of people have kind of forgot that Battlefield even exists. And I class myself as one of those people as well, because I, even out of the two of them, in terms of the big dice shooters, I've even been playing more Battlefront than I've been playing Battlefield.
Yes.
But that's just the general state of Battlefield 5, is that it's in a bit of a mess.
Yeah, so basically last week, the DICE announced that the new 5v5 multiplayer mode was basically getting the axe. And there was another story that broke last week, basically, where the developers themselves admitted that they had no clue what was going on with the roadmap. So we had this massive roadmap coming out where, you know, basically the same as Battlefront, you've got this content releasing in this month, this is coming this month, this is coming this month. And people on the subreddit weren't too pleased to find out that after a few months had gone by, this roadmap had promised them new vehicles, new items, new cosmetics, And the Battlefield community manager, Jeff Braddock, actually responded to complaints that previously promised updates slated to release in June hadn't actually come. This included new vehicles and new select items. He said, "That is not a current roadmap. I mean, let's be honest, even our current roadmap," that's inverted commas, "is not accurate at this point. The latest, and yes, it's already missed some items, is here," which has basically got all the stuff coming out this month. We've got a new Theatre of War that's coming, that's set in the Pacific, so you'll get two new factions as well, which is the United States and Japan. Really, really cool. Getting some Battlefield 1943 vibes coming from that, maybe, I really, really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But basically, he says, "The answer I received from the vehicle dev was, 'What are you talking about? I showed him the image you shared.' The dev said, 'That's wrong. The next big push of vehicles and gadgets is with the next chapter set in the Pacific.' He's frustrated with the inaccuracy of the specific chapter roadmap, and he's escalating it to his bosses and studio leadership, and I'm escalating it to the marketing team to find out why it has this info in the first place." Okay. "The body of the article doesn't talk about vehicles or gadgets. It talks about weapons and elites. The image is inaccurate. I'm sorry, man. Sigh."
Aww.
So
this is what you can.
I know. So yeah, Battlefield 5 in a really, really weird place. I've been playing it over the weekend. I've been having a great time, but it's difficult to drop in at this point after the game's come out and discover what is new and what isn't, and you know, how much of that content has been coming readily after launch.
It's like, it's weird as well, because it makes me think of the way that EA treat these things, where they sort of rotate through their like major franchises. Like at some point, whatever the next Battlefield is, whether it's Battlefield 6 or maybe a return to the Bad Company thing, maybe that stuff's real or whatever, all those things will have to be coming back through the pipeline. You know, they can only support this game for so long. But I like the idea that they're sort of getting out there and communicating things, even though what they're communicating doesn't exactly come across very clearly. But just looking at the sort of the general like fan Reddits and stuff, it does seem like people are like, okay, what the hell are you doing with this thing? Because if they've invested their trust after, like you said, that initial sort of controversy around launch, wherever you came down on that, like even if you did start, keep playing the game, you know, you've put your money in, like they owe it to the fans or whatever to sort of communicate what the hell's happening.
And that's an interesting thing as well, because like I remember when before they released it, like, "We're going to update this game by adding in new theaters of war regularly on a regular basis." Battlefield 1, of course, had all the stuff on the Eastern Front, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And there is clearly a great game here. Like, there is clearly... Battlefield itself is such a well put together franchise, and it's very rare that I find an entry that I didn't enjoy. I think the formula is always good.
I'd like to know what they're doing.
And Battlefield 1 had the great operation stuff. I've not actually encountered anything similar in this game yet, which is really weird because operations was the best part of Battlefield 1.
Totally.
But yeah, it's very weird that we're at this state now where Star Wars Battlefront 2, the most reviled game of 2017, has now kind of overtaken Battlefield 5 in the player favorability charts this year. It's very, very weird.
And that might just be because it's like the year of Star Wars, but in terms of Battlefield 5, I remember when Josh reviewed it, I think he ended up giving it either 4 stars or 3.5. Like, he still said there was a lot to champion about it, and it just seems like a few of the rougher edges need to be smoothed over. They do have a great product here, it's just that they don't necessarily, I don't know, seem to be able to put it together in the best way. But there's recommendable things in there. But yeah, the general state of Battlefield 5 seems to be a little bit all over the place, at least at the minute. Speaking of things that are all over the place, do you like Resident Evil, good sir?
Yes.
Me too. Now, there was a dude called EvilVR who always used to tweet stuff on Twitter. And always used to... He was one of the people who was behind
tweet it on his PS4.
He does what he can. He gets out there. And he was one of the people that leaked the existence of the Resident Evil 2 remake and Resident Evil 7 ahead of time. Very much got in the crosshairs of Capcom, because it was like, who the hell is this?
ITK.
I know, he's sort of getting in there before they had a chance to put things out officially. Now, this account sort of became known as the place to go to for Resident Evil things. Eventually, had to tweet that he was contacted by Capcom or contacted by someone at the top to say, "Hey, can you please stop ruining these big things?" Because, you know,
I imagine he was just calling in a back alley and the cat goes, shh.
Just the face of Capcom trying to hit him with one of those giant controllers.
Yes.
All of this that I'm about to say, take with a mahusive grain of salt. But this dude, I just love the way that
one giant grain,
one massive chunk of salt, because I love the fact that he's still tweeting specific details. But obviously, he had to preface it by saying, like, "Look, my assumption on the next Resident Evil game is that it might be like this." But just the fact of the source kind of makes me think that he's still doing what he can to sort of get some bits and pieces out there. But yeah, if you've been keeping up with the news from last week, Capcom tweeted out this thing called Project Resistance, said that we'll find out more at the Tokyo Game Show. But people have already data mined the link that was included for the teaser trailer, found a whole bunch of screenshots that show group characters, kind of shows that it's going to be another Resident Evil outbreak, which I totally called last week, totally a thing. But this dude then, EvilVR, then sort of followed up on that and said that his take, but we'll find out more soon, But then he had to reinforce that by saying, these are my guesses, not confirmed to be true, Fire. But he said that he thinks the game takes place before Resident Evil 2 and 3, said that because the screenshots include young characters, he's guessing that they were all in college when the outbreak happened. Nemesis could appear, and maybe it's teasing the Resident Evil 3 remake, more enemy types, more than what Outbreak File 1 and 2 had. And then I love that he caps all that off by being ludicrously specific and says also no 4v1, because that's what we tend to put on wish lists. We tend to assume there'll be no 4v1.
Josh always makes sure to go out of his way for every little 10 things gamers demand for the next release of no 4v1.
Yeah, no specific sort of numerics.
That's interesting. So what do you read from that? Like, does that mean that kind of we're getting more co-op-oriented Resident Evil? Yeah.
Well, so that was the thing back in like 2003, Resident Evil Outbreak. That was one of the first online games on the PS2. You had to get a modem to play it and everything. But I think that considering the engine that Resident Evil 2 had, it's just such a great third-person shooter. I think it makes sense to bring those things together, let you go on like missions together. And plus, there's a massive gap for a Left 4 Dead fandom to be like, here's a massive AAA produced or well-produced zombie game.
I'm right here.
I know, he's been here for years. Like, satiate the man. So, I think that's kind of what they're going for. I think if Valve aren't going to do a decent Left 4 Dead 3 and Turtle Rock are doing Bound for Blood with not anywhere near as much production value, but about for Blood for the number 4, then I think there's something to be said for a proper AAA produced zombie game. And that's what I think that this is. The stuff that he says about the age of the characters is kind of cool. The idea of them tapping back into, bringing about like Stranger Things kind of vibes, characters that are coming out of school dealing with the outbreak.
That means more DIY weaponry as well.
Yes, I would assume so. I mean, I guess it depends, but I think in terms of the general attitude that they'll have, it's very rare that Resident Evil games show the day of the outbreak, the things that were happening in different settings, like in the middle of a school or whatever. Like, there's more ground to cover there, which I quite like the idea of. Something else as well, very, very quickly, is that Cyberpunk 2077 had a bit of an update in terms of someone messaged the official account and said, can we inquire about the first-person cutscenes, or first-person perspective being used in cutscenes? And the official reply from that said that yes, first person will be used across the board in cutscenes and in gameplay and in everything. And then the person said, even in sex scenes, and they said yes. So do you want some more Far Cry 3 first person citrus sex scenes? Because they're coming.
Is this a VR thing as well?
Sadly, it's not a VR thing.
I mean, they're missing one very niche market around the corner there if they don't do that.
So I mean, as a general sort of conversation point though, I think it was a weird swerve when they announced they were going to put everything in first person in the first place. Because for me, the biggest appeal of Cyberpunk was a Witcher style game in a cyberpunk setting, and also you have this massive customization system, all this loot, all these different things to wear and everything, which now you'll just kind of not really see.
They kind of addressed that in the last gameplay demo, because when you're customizing yourself, Johnny Silverhand goes up to you and goes, why are you spending so much time in the mirror? No one gives a rat's ass what you look like. And it's kind of like, I care.
Like, I guess, and that could be sort of like a wider sort of comment on the state of commercialism and consumerism in that city, like maybe. But for the most part, a lot of people in a cyberpunk setting like to customize themselves, like to have the arm blades and the big tattoos and everything else. But you're very rarely going to see it.
I imagine we're probably getting a photo mode in this game eventually.
I hope so.
That will just open me up to be like, oh wow, this is how cooler it would look if the camera was behind me. And I enjoy the idea of like, I think the sense of speed and momentum you get from the motorcycle looks really, really cool, but at the same time, I'm kind of just like, I want to be able to look
around.
Let me see
my dude
stuff.
So yeah, so they have kind of confirmed, if you look at the gameplay footage, that yes, you can see V when you're in a car, when you're on the back of a bike, and there are certain cutscenes that are more cinematically focused where the camera will float around different characters, but the comparison to be made in terms of The Witcher is that you won't get a cutscene where it's like shot, reverse shot, like it is when you talk to someone in The Witcher 3, which, take that for what you will, but I think if you're going to have a really deep customization system, let me see my dude. I want to see my dude. I want to see the big. I want to see the jacket with the logo on it. Okay? That's all I want to see.
Do you just prefer third-person sex scenes?
Yes, I do. I prefer third-person everything. Give me Fahrenheit. Give me thrust with the right analog stick. Thrust to win.
Don't throw that
you,
up on screen.
I just want to thrust to win. Thrust to win. But yeah, I think that considering the switch they've done, a lot of the fandom are just kind of like, okay, we can go with the first-person stuff in gameplay, but let us see our character in the cutscene. So it depends how they go forward, but I don't know. I just... It makes me do this.
Sorry, I'm just getting like Vietnam flashbacks to Fahrenheit now.
Or Far Cry 3. But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below, depending on what you think of Cyberpunk 2077, Resident Evil, and the state of Battlefield. For now, though, I've been Scott from MockCulture.com.
And I've been Yoon from MockCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.